Is Governor Scott Walker and the new Republican-controlled legislature going to improve the state of Wisconsin? That's the big question we will discuss this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 2nd. And we will also share with you the latest on the blizzard and the winter storm that has covered most of the southern third of the state. In two words, stay put. But with more on the weather forecast and our weather conditions, we are very happy to have with us once again Chad Franzen, who is meteorologist for WSAW-TV in Wausau. Good snoring morning to you, Chad.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, what a difference a day makes across at least the southern third of Wisconsin. Big difference this morning.
Oh, that's right. And you're in Wausau. Not much there, or did you get anything?
Yeah, we had a couple flurries. That was about it.
It is so strange. I think I feel the 14.5 inches of snow that Madison received shoveling out my driveway this morning.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people digging out this morning, not only from the southern part of Wisconsin all the way down into Illinois, and the storm system is a rapid mover, already pushing into Indiana and parts of Ohio. So it is a major player in the weather, not only in this state, but many states. And, of course, that's going to really affect a lot of different airlines and air traveling. And if anybody has any plans to travel by air in the next day or so, certainly call ahead, because there will be a lot of repercussions across the upper Midwest.
Oh, certainly. And roads, some of them are still impassable, even interstates, portions of the interstate. So emergency management in Wisconsin is advising people to not travel, to stay put. This warning says that if you get stranded, emergency vehicles might not even be able to reach you. What is the outlook for today, Chad?
Well, things are going to improve slowly for today. I mean, we're still going to be talking about snow and a lot of blustery conditions and blowing and drifting, especially from a line of about Manitowoc southwestward into about Prairie du Chien. So the southern third of Wisconsin is still going to have some problems today. Gusty winds, still some snow at times this morning. Snowfall accumulation-wise, not much more expected. But it's the blowing and drifting of snow as that wind really picks up out of the north, northeast. Wind gusts could easily exceed 35 miles per hour through the early afternoon in the far southern part of the state. So we're talking about not only blowing and drifting of snow, so when the road crews do treat it, then it's going to blow back across the road. So traveling in the southern part of Wisconsin into the state line of Illinois is certainly going to be problematic for at least the next day, if not longer. So please be careful, obviously, if you do have to travel, but your best bet is to sit at home and watch it happen and try to plan for another day of travel.
And so for the northern third of the state, all is rosy?
Yeah, not too many problems expected for basically northwestern, north central, central Wisconsin. In fact, sunshine will take over for those parts of the state, and it'll be kind of hard to fathom where we're getting some sunshine that develops in the northern part of Wisconsin, and then all of a sudden the southern part, in the southern third especially, blowing and drifting of snow, big winter wonderland. So quite a difference across the state. Very, very typically when we get these kind of storm systems, they affect everything statewide. This one just happens to be affecting about a third of the state. Northern two-thirds, really no problems expected for today.
Yeah, and I see that bitterly cold tonight, but then for the rest of the week and through the weekend, not so bad?
No, it looks like we'll have a pretty good warming trend as we head into the upcoming weekend. Temperatures easily back in the 20s. We will see some lower 30s pop up at times, especially going into Saturday and Sunday. Kind of a quick-moving clipper-type system coming through for Sunday night. For Super Bowl Sunday, could trigger a couple snow showers for the entire state. But the bottom line is we're looking at a big cool down early next week, highs by Tuesday, most areas statewide in the single digits, and overnight lows will be in that 10 to 20 degree below range by Tuesday morning. So big changes on the way in the long term. Short term, a little bit of digging out, and then a little warming trend going into the weekend.
Chad, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Everybody stay safe out there. Don't travel unless you absolutely have to, and that far southern third of Wisconsin going into today.
Chad Franzen, meteorologist at WSAW-TV in Wausau. Okay, let's talk about the state of Wisconsin. Besides the weather, just about everything is closed as you in southern Wisconsin, as you probably heard. The roads are treacherous. Jimmy the Groundhog in Sun Prairie is snowed in. So stay safe and warm and join in our discussion about the state of the state and the direction we are headed. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Joining me now with their reaction to the state of the state address and the future of the state of Wisconsin, we have two guests who will discuss and debate things that Governor Walker had to say last night. Brian Fraley is a director at the MacIver Institute. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
And Scott Ross is with us, executive director of One Wisconsin Now. Good morning.
Hey, Joy. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Yeah, Scott and Brian have a regular online feature called That's Debatable, which you can find at wisopinion.com. And I appreciate you both being with us, and sorry for the slight delay in getting to our big question debate, but a little weather to talk about this morning. Both of you are snowed in, I take it.
Yes, I did not make it to Brookfield last night. I'm a guest at the lovely downtown Concourse Hotel.
Well, it could be worse.
That's right. It could be a lot worse.
Yeah, I know, Scott, you were planning on coming into the studio today, but I'm glad you reconsidered.
Yes, and I want to congratulate all of your listeners who are able to actually get to their radios today.
Yes. Well, we'll see. I think we have a few listeners. So, and as we just heard in the weather, it's the southern third of Wisconsin that's really socked in right now, and it's treacherous. But northern Wisconsin, just a flurry or two. So, let's talk though about the state of the state, and let me just get your general reactions to what the governor had to say last night. He says we're going to have some hard sacrifices ahead, but he didn't have a lot of details. Brian Fraley, you first. Your reaction to the state of the state.
Well, much like the weather, you know, the state of Wisconsin finances are a mess, and it is just a stark reality that there is a 4-foot drift of debt at the end of the state's driveway that we have to deal with, dig our way out of before we can do anything. We might like to do a lot of stuff around the house. We might like to go shopping. We might like to do a lot of things. But until we get that drift at the end of the driveway done, we can't do anything. And that's really what Governor Walker's speech was last night. Yeah, it wasn't big on details. State of the states never are. Mm-hmm. They are more general overviews. And I think his general overview was, look, Things are tough, and we're going to deal with them, though. We're not going to gone are the days where we're going to do accounting tricks and rely on one-time money for continuing obligations or getting bailed out by the feds. We're going to deal with our situation here so that we can prosper in the future. And we have to get dug out of this problem. And once we get once we get the driveway and the sidewalks clear, then we can continue to do new things. But there was not a lot of new programs trotted out or new services that were promised, unlike in previous years. This was a pretty stark, a pleasantly short 31-minute speech. Didn't feel the need to talk for an hour and a half. And, our reaction, we talked to 36 lawmakers. We have their reactions, Democrats and Republicans, up on MacIverInstitute.com today. And even some of the Democrats were like, well, it is what it is. We may disagree with what he's going to end up doing, but we can't disagree with the fact that this is a mess.
Scott Ross, it is what it is?
Well, I think that what we got last night out of Governor Walker was not a lot of specifics. I mean, the people of Wisconsin are looking for a reasonable and balanced approach to our state finances. And unfortunately, essentially what we got was Governor Walker has given Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce a snow plow, and they are pushing snow onto everybody else's driveway in the form of already $140 million in new spending through tax cuts that aren't going to create jobs here in the state of Wisconsin. And, it's the old adage, when you're in a hole, stop digging. We are now at a point where Governor Walker is calling for a special a budget adjustment bill, but over half of the shortfall that's predicted in that budget shortfall, in the need for a special session, is the fact that we've passed $140 million in new spending through tax breaks that aren't going to create jobs. So I think that the people of Wisconsin thought they would get more out of this speech. They thought they'd hear some real solutions. But in the end, the only solution that Governor Walker seemed to propose was making working families pay more for their health care. And that's not a solution that's going to create jobs. It's not a solution that's going to get us out of any of the problems we have, which is the need for jobs here in the state of Wisconsin.
Talking with Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now, and Brian Fraley, a director at the MacGyver Institute, talking with us about Governor Walker's State of the State address last night. And the big question we are asking you is, do you think that Governor Walker and the new legislature will enact policies that will improve the state of Wisconsin? And we welcome your thoughts on the state of the state as well. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have also provided a link on our Facebook page to our online poll, which you can also find at wpr.org. We invite you to vote in today's big question online poll on whether or not you think Governor Walker will improve the state of Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 2nd. Stay tuned. Lots more to come here on the Ideas Network. We will presumably have live programming most of the day. I know that Larry Mueller is planning on plowing in today, talking with his guest after 11 o'clock about Wisconsin wildlife. He will be welcoming in UW-Madison Professor of Wildlife Ecology, Scott Craven, after 11 o'clock. Ben Marins is set after 5 for the job line. The February job line. He will talk about what jobs are available and ask employers with jobs available to call in during the job line after 5 this afternoon. Right now, we are talking with two guests who have different political viewpoints on the state of the state of Wisconsin. We're getting their reactions to what Governor Walker had to say last night during his first State of the State address, and talking some about whether the policies that he's proposing and that the legislature is passing will improve the future for the state of Wisconsin. And again, we welcome your thoughts, your reactions too, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me ask both of you to react specifically to some of the items that Governor Walker said would need to be targeted to solve Wisconsin's budget troubles. He said in his State of the State that state employees will need to contribute more to their pension costs and will have to pay more for health insurance premiums. I think he said 5% to pension, 12% more for health insurance. Scott Ross, is that so unreasonable?
I think that trying to blame the economic climate and the massive job loss in the state of Wisconsin on state employees is improper. State employees are dedicated people who serve Wisconsin well. And I guess I would sum up my feelings on it by this. You know, Governor Walker started his address by talking about a state trooper who had been injured in the line of duty. And the only sacrifice that he called for in his State of the State is that this trooper should pay more for his health care costs. And I don't think that's a balanced approach. And I don't think that what the people of Wisconsin are looking for is for Wisconsinites to have less access to health care. They're looking for jobs. And I don't think Scott Walker laid out a plan to create jobs here in the state of Wisconsin. And I don't think that in the last month he's done a lot to create jobs here in Wisconsin. Whether it's turning away the high-speed rail, $400 million wind farm, and the Charter Street plant for biofuels. I mean, these are things that will cost Wisconsin jobs instead of creating them. And I think that what people are looking for in the state of Wisconsin, again, is a balanced approach to job creation that doesn't put Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce in charge of the state's treasury.
Mm-hmm. Brian Fraley, first, the state employees and how they will need to contribute more to pension and health insurance.
Yeah, it's certainly not asking too much. I mean, you can't look at the overall economic situation and say we're going to fix this solely by handling labor costs, okay? But you can't address the fiscal situation by ignoring labor costs either. And you know, asking state employees to contribute a little bit to their pensions and to contribute more to their health insurance is not trying to balance the budget on their backs. It's not going to address the $5 billion hole. You know, we talk a lot about, Joy, a lot about a possibly $3.3 billion deficit that the state has to deal with, but that ignores the $1.5 billion we need to pay back to the federal government for unemployment compensation reserves. So it's really, we're really looking at a $5.5 billion when it's all said and done. So yeah, we're not gonna fill that hole by asking state employees to contribute more to their health care or to their retirement. But you will get a couple hundred million dollars out of the retirement and a couple hundred million dollars out of the health care. And it's just a part. It is not the whole, but it is a part. What he's going to do to address the other gaps is he's going to spend less in a lot of agencies. And I think a lot of people are going to feel the sacrifice or the hurt. And the one thing I give Governor Walker credit for last night is he talked about the mistakes of the past in terms of the segregated fee fund raids and, for example, raiding the patient compensation fund, which due to a court ruling, we have to pay back $200 million now. He talked about all the things that happened, but, you know, not once did he say Governor Doyle's name. He did not blame the last 8 years of the Doyle administration or the previous Democratic-controlled legislature. He just said, this is where we're at, and we're going to get out of this. So I think there's going to be a lot of approaches that he's going to take. He's going to have to look at the eligibility for Medicaid benefits. Wisconsin is incredibly generous. The Badger Care program has expanded tremendously under the Doyle administration from what was supposed to be a stopgap measure to where now one in five Wisconsinites basically get some form of assistance from the state. And it's simply these expenses are untenable, and they have to be addressed. I agree with Scott in the aspect that Governor Walker did not lay out a lot of details last night. That is not uncommon, however, in state of the state addresses.
We will we'll talk more about the health care in just a moment, but we have Laverne in Monroe, who is calling from his snowdrift, right, Laverne?
That's right.
Laverne in Monroe, did you get lots?
Yes, and I watched it. My question is, though, presently Wisconsin's bond rating is better than Illinois', but I'm wondering what it's going to look like in 4 years from now. The governor doesn't want to raise the individual income tax, where Illinois is raising the individual income tax. Illinois' property taxes are also better than Wisconsin's. In fact, I've talked to people that moved to Illinois because their property taxes are lower. I think in 4 years from now, we might have had a lot of people moving to Illinois because their bond rating might be better and Wisconsin's might be worse.
Mm-hmm. Let's get Brian very briefly to respond first to that.
Well, I think Wisconsin doesn't have a revenue problem, Laverne. I think Wisconsin has a spending problem. We're simply spending beyond our state taxpayers' ability to pay. So we have to control spending. We control spending, get our finances set. Our bond rating will not only be steady, but it'll improve.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at the upper Midwest, you know, when you start talking about spending and tax rates and that sort of thing, Michigan has the lowest corporate income tax rate and Michigan has the lowest individual tax rate, and they are number two in unemployment and number two in home foreclosures. You have to be able to generate revenue. You need a balanced approach that asks everyone to contribute so that we can provide the services we do, like Brian said, making sure people have access to health care, for instance. And Wisconsin has led the country in that.
Very briefly, both of you react to this. Denison Hudson says Republicans around the country, including Governor Walker, campaigned on the promise to create jobs. However, what they are doing is following the same policies that caused the recession in the first place. That is to cut taxes for the wealthy and deregulate everything they can. Neither of these policies will create jobs. Brian?
I think when you create an environment where people are willing to take risk and pursue new ventures, you create jobs. The majority of jobs are going to be created by small businesses, and I think Scott Walker's first month in office has been a boon to small businesses. That's why the National Federation of Independent Businesses and a lot of other small business associations have applauded the work that Walker's done, whether it be on tort reform or regulatory reform or the tax relief.
Let's get less than a minute before news, Scott Ross, for your response.
No, I mean, I have to completely agree with the emailer. You know, again, tax cuts for rich people, tax cuts for big business, creating an imbalance between what those who have and the middle class is what got us into this problem in the first place, massive deregulation. And I applaud your listener for chiming in on that.
We are talking with two guests from different political viewpoints, Scott Ross, executive director of One Wisconsin Now, and Brian Fraley, a director at the MacGyver Institute, about the state of Wisconsin following Governor Walker's first State of the State speech last night. And we welcome your thoughts, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can vote in our online poll, which is linked to Facebook and on wpr.org. Is Governor Walker improving the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Well, the state of the state remains snowy, at least for most of southern Wisconsin. Driving remains treacherous, impossible in parts of the region. Parts of the interstate closed, many roads impassable. We will get an update on the blizzard situation and the big snowstorm coming up in about 10 minutes or so from a guest from Wisconsin Emergency Management. But in the meantime, we are talking about the state of Wisconsin, and we have with us two guests from different viewpoints reacting to Governor Walker's State of the State address last night, delivered under a snowy Capitol dome. Scott Ross is with us, executive director of One Wisconsin Now, and Brian Fraley, a director at the MacGyver Institute. And we have an open line for you for your thoughts and reactions as well. Do you think Governor Walker and the new state legislature will improve the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's take a listen to some of what Governor Walker had to say in his first State of the State address last night.
Moments after taking the oath of office as your governor, I called a special session of the legislature to focus on jobs. Already, we are sending a clear message that Wisconsin is open for business.
The Democratic response was delivered by State Representative Peter Barca.
He rightfully put a focus on economic development and creating jobs. However, the one concern that we have is that there's a lost opportunity in the sense that very few of the bills have any prospects of creating jobs in the short term.
Let me get our guest to react to that. Brian Fraley, very few of the bills that the governor has proposed for this special session that have passed will do much to create jobs?
No, they'll create jobs. It's just they're not going to create jobs in a week. And I know that a great number of the Democrats, not all of them, because some of these bills passed with pretty big bipartisan votes, wanted a state somewhat like a stimulus package where the state would spend a lot of money, create either make work jobs or real jobs, a temporary infusion of state-funded projects where the people would be put to work by the state. But there's no money. Anyone who's dug themselves out of financial hardship can attest to this, as can I, as a UW grad who had to pay off his own college loans. It's tougher to, you know, swallow hard and realize, you know what, maybe I can't have the deluxe cable TV package right now, and maybe I have to get the efficiency apartment instead of the one-bedroom apartment because I just can't afford it. I could max out yet another credit card. I have this application here, and I could max it out. I know they'll give it to me, but it's only going to prolong the inevitable, and the inevitable is here. Scott Walker is saying the inevitable is here. We're going to have to pay down our bills and get our spending under control.
Mm-hmm. Scott Ross?
I have to respectfully disagree with Brian. I don't recall hearing any legislator out there calling for new government-created jobs necessarily. I think that what they're saying is, why did we send the jobs associated with high-speed rail out of the state? Why are we trying to cancel wind farm jobs? Why is the special session focusing things on allowing nursing homes who harm patients to be non-accountable to taxpayers and people they cause injury to? I mean, that's, I think, where people are saying, wait a second, I'm not sure where things are going with this. Why are we trying to pass tort reform when our climate is ninth best, according to the Conservative Pacific Institute? I mean, you know, again, we need a balanced approach to this, not a grab bag for Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce. And unfortunately, that's what we've gotten so far. And it's going to cost us $140 million over just the next 2 years. And I don't see how that's creating jobs.
Mm-hmm. How is that creating jobs, Brian?
Well, only someone who is so anti-business would think that tort reform doesn't create an environment where businesses can prosper and thrive. There is a reason that all of the business and industry groups were in favor of reforming Wisconsin's litigation lottery system, and that is because to add a bit more certainty into the realm of starting a business or running a business will lead you to be able to expand your business. These will improve Wisconsin's climate. This will help us get out of the doldrums, and we will be one of the first in the upper Midwest to rebound from this economic downturn because we will be attracting new jobs because of the work that was done in the last month.
Let me get a
I think that I have to say, I think that, you know, the proof is in the pudding, Brian. There was one actual business owner who testified during the tort reform hearing, and when directly asked, will you create new, you know, show us the new jobs you're going to create as a result of this, he said, well, I don't think this is necessarily going to have me create jobs. So, you know, this is about larger scale interests being able to do what they want with free reign here in the state of Wisconsin, and they're doing it as a result of what Governor Walker and the Republican-controlled legislature did. You know, people have a right to hold people accountable. I mean, we ask for accountability in state employees. We ask accountability in poor people. We ask accountability in the middle class. I think big industries that may cause harm to people should be held accountable as well.
I agree with you, Scott. I agree with you on that. And what one of the things that tort reform did is that it says you have to focus your attention. You have to focus your agreement on the cause. Not perhaps the retailer of the product, but the manufacturer of the product. It will have an impact on jobs in the long run. There's no doubt about that.
This is what Governor Walker had to say about tort reform last night.
You hired me to put Wisconsin back to work. I love this state, and I know you do too. I know we can transform our state and in turn become a national leader in fiscal and economic reform.
That's not what he said about tort reform. This is what he said about tort reform.
We were once known as Alabama North because of our poor lawsuit climate. Now we've turned the page on lawsuit reform and offer one more sign that Wisconsin is open for business.
So that's what he said about tort reform. Scott Ross?
I stand by what he said. I mean, we need to hold people accountable. Everybody needs a sense of accountability. And notion of giving carte blanche to big corporations to run roughshod over the people of Wisconsin, it's help us. It's not. I mean, whether it's, you know, whether it's what Governor Walker's doing with tort reform, whether he's, you know, turning the Department of Commerce into essentially an $82 million TARP fund with no accountability and no transparency, modeled after Indiana, whose unemployment rate is 33% higher than ours. These are not things that are going to create jobs. These are simply restating failed policies that got us into this mess in the first place.
I think we have a caller that agrees with Scott Ross, Tina in Enduro. Hi, Tina.
Yeah, I think we're about to become the Mississippi of the North. Robber barons run the show. It's the ownership society where anything you need, you own it. You on your own. If you want to provide education, roads, definitely anything modernization is bad. We have to stay so the robber barons make their money. And I want to take it one step further. They don't need to be responsible for what they do. You produce something that harms people or poisons them, you need to be hammered into the ground and destroyed. That's what keeps people from doing it. If they can make money, don't forget, in the era of the robber barons, America was booming, but it was paid for by the shallow graves of the Irish, the blacks, and the Chinese that built it.
Let's get Brian to respond to that.
Well, I mean, this is not a Bleak House state of the state here, and this is we're not turning back the clock to such a degree that you know, some of the opponents would like to think. This is not turning over the keys of the regulatory system to the people who are being regulated. This is, frankly, the tort reform brought in rules of evidence procedures that are used in federal courts around the country. So this is not some kind of crazy idea concocted by, you know, seven conservatives in Washington and sent down on high to Republican governors across the country. These are just modernizing and bringing Wisconsin into the mainstream of litigation law. And business owners will tell you that they appreciate and need this. And I think we need to move away from the mentality that it's us against them, and anyone who is offering people a job, anyone who is starting a business and offering someone a job is somehow evil because they have money and they have power. And it's just, that's not the way I look at Wisconsin. I don't think that's really the way Scott Ross looks at Wisconsin. And, you know, we're all in this together. We're all feeling the hard times, and we are all going to feel the brunt of you know, the hard swallow, let's get our house in order reality check that we have to take here in the next 18 months.
Let me ask Brian Fraley from the MacGyver Institute and Scott Ross from One Wisconsin Now to stand by for just a moment as we check in with Wisconsin Emergency Management to get the very latest on any warnings or emergency situations happening due to the big snowstorm, the blizzard affecting much of southern Wisconsin. And we have online Todd Pritchard, who is a spokesperson for Wisconsin Emergency Management. Todd, hello once again.
Hi, Joy.
So what's new?
Well, we're still working on clearing that accident on I-94 just south of Highway 50 in Kenosha County. It is starting to clear. There's a lot of traffic back up there, and so a lot of folks have been stuck in that for a while, but it's starting to clear out. Traffic is starting to move, so that's good news. And then basically it's really a situation of getting snow plows out and getting a lot of those county roads and state roads clear that were drifted over night. So that'll take those crews a while, and we're really recommending folks stay off the road if they can.
Yeah, and those portions of I-94 and I-43 that were closed are still closed?
Well, they aren't officially closed, but they were declared impassable overnight,
mm-hmm.
and those stretches are still problematic. So they're getting a little bit better. They are the road crews, plows are getting to those locations, but they're still very problematic.
Hey, Todd, I wanted to tell you that after we spoke last on the program, I did get my winter emergency kit, and it's in the trunk of my car. So.
Oh, that's awesome. I wish everyone had a kit in their car because, you know what, in these circumstances where you get stranded on the road, that is a lifesaver.
Mm-hmm.
So thank goodness you got one, Joy. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Anything anything else that you need to share with Wisconsin listeners right now?
Well, really, just a kudos goes out to the National Guard and to the DNR folks who helped a lot of the counties rescue folks from a variety of different locations overnight. They really jumped in. The National Guard guys had their Humvees out rescuing people from snowbanks and ditches and all sorts of stuff. So they did just a great job overnight.
Thank you very much, Todd.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joy.
Todd Pritchard is a spokesperson for Wisconsin Emergency Management. The blizzard warning stays in effect for south central and southeast Wisconsin until noon today. There is a winter storm warning for much of southwestern Wisconsin and part of south central Wisconsin, and a winter weather advisory for northeast Wisconsin. So snowy and windy this morning in the south and east, with a chance of snow in the north. Decreasing clouds this afternoon. Highs today in the teens and 20s. So stay warm, stay safe. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 9 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 2nd. We'll continue our coverage of the state of the state after 8 o'clock. For the most part, it's going to be an open line after 8 o'clock. We welcome your comments, whatever they might be, on your thoughts on the direction the state of Wisconsin is taking, and whether you think the state of the state or the future is strong for the state of Wisconsin coming up after 8 o'clock. But we will have a number of other guests with brief reactions, including lawmakers Peter Barca and Scott Fitzgerald and Tamara Grigsby and Jeff Fitzgerald, Mark Miller, many state lawmakers joining us with their thoughts. And also Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett is scheduled to join us, and maybe he can give us an update on how the blizzard is affecting the city of Milwaukee as well. Milwaukee got hammered probably the worst of any Wisconsin city during this blizzard. So all of those guests and you coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we are getting the opinions and analysis of Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now, and Brian Fraley, a director at the MacGyver Institute. They have a regular online feature called That's Debatable at wisopinion.com. They are debating our big question this hour, which is whether we are optimistic about the state of Wisconsin, whether we think Governor Walker and the new legislature will improve the state of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You know, we had a caller that dropped off during our weather break there who wanted to say that during the last 8 years under Governor Doyle, lots of businesses and jobs were lost in Wisconsin. So change is good. And he is welcoming the leadership of Governor Scott Walker. Your general reaction to that, Scott Ross.
Well, I think, you know, to blame Governor Doyle for the national economic collapse, I think isn't necessarily fair. I will say that, you know, Brian mentioned earlier about the fact that, you know, we are all in this together. But I don't know that we're seeing that in terms of what Governor Walker's doing so far. You know, we've got a guy who's going to run our Department of Workforce Development, who runs a temp agency and hosted a seminar entitled "What Can Be Done to Keep Your Business Union Free." We've got a Department of Health Services director who went out to Washington, D.C. and tried to say, hey, we're going to have to cut benefits for health care here in the state of Wisconsin. And essentially ignored the fact that under the Federal Health Care Reform Act, because Wisconsin has done such a good job under its bipartisan Badger Care program, Wisconsin actually will save $500 million over a 5-year period because of the fact that, you know, we have been at the leading forefront of providing people with health care here in the state of Wisconsin at an affordable cost, so that health care benefits are not a disincentive to looking for work, because we are taking care of people, we're asking them to contribute to their health care. But we realize here in the state of Wisconsin, or at least we have for the last 8 years, that getting people the right care the first time at a reasonable cost increases business opportunity, it increases productivity of workers, and it ensures people are healthy and safe. And I just, as I close, I just want to say thank you to all the government workers out there right now who are plowing our streets, you know, putting themselves at risk, rescuing motorists who have stranded themselves, and ensuring that we can continue to survive here under this snowpocalypse, as they are calling it.
Yeah, let me ask you, I'm going to go right back to Scott Ross, because you brought up Badger Care. Your reaction specifically to Governor Walker's indication last night that Medicaid was going to receive some cuts.
Well, I think that the fact that Governor Walker has used taxpayer dollars to have J.B. Van Hollen fight a federal, you know, fight this ridiculous federal lawsuit to stop the Federal Health Reform Act, you know, that again keeps insurance companies from discriminating against people who have pre-existing conditions. It bars health insurance companies from lifetime caps on coverage, and it allows families to keep children on their policies until age 26. The idea and the notion that we are wasting taxpayer dollars to try and fight this is offensive. And cutting people off of Badger Care benefits, working families, expectant mothers and children is inconceivable when you couple the fact that we just spent $140 million on tax breaks that aren't going to create jobs here in the state of Wisconsin.
Brian, on that health care dichotomy that Scott brought up?
Oh, there's so much to deal with there, Scott. That I don't know where to start. I think it's offensive to refer to a 26-year-old adult as a dependent child. But anyway, in terms of the successful lawsuit against Obamacare, can't wait for that to get to the Supreme Court. We've already won at the district level, and I applaud J.B. Van Hollen for his work on that. The fact is that our Medicaid benefits in Wisconsin are incredibly generous, especially compared to neighboring states. I think we need to look at if there is evidence where we might be becoming a social service magnet for people because that they're migrating to the state merely because of the benefits that the taxpayers are providing them. I think we need to look at the eligibility limits simply because we can't keep spending. We can't keep spending on these programs. We can't keep spending on corrections the way we wanted to. We can't keep spending on K-12 education. We can't keep spending on the UW system. I mean, there are no sacred cows, and I know that by saying that one paragraph here, I just raised the hair on the back of the necks of tons of people who are like, don't gore my ox. But the bottom line is Wisconsin has a spending problem, and we need to look at every single area that we're spending, look at the return on investment we're getting, root out waste, fraud, and abuse, trim back what the state of Wisconsin does. The bottom line is the times are gone where we say government needs to do more with less.
Yeah, let me.
We have to do less with less so that we can focus on the people who really need the health benefits, so that we can focus on public safety, like keeping our roads clean, so that we can focus on the core services that government should provide.
We have less than a minute to go, so seriously, one word answers. The future of the state of the state of Wisconsin is what, Scott Ross?
Well, I think it's the absence of Scott Walker talking at all last night about public education, the University of Wisconsin system, and the technical college system, which huge investments in create jobs and long-term success for the state of Wisconsin. I think his omission is telling.
All right. That was more than one word. So can you do it in one word or just a couple, Brian?
Challenging.
All right. Thank you very much to both of you. We appreciate you joining us on this very snowy morning in southern Wisconsin. Our two big question debaters, Brian Fraley, a director at the MacGyver Institute, and Scott Ross, an executive director of One Wisconsin Now. You can vote in our online poll on the state of the state of Wisconsin. Do you think that Governor Walker is improving the state of Wisconsin? There's a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can find it also on WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network.